Appreciate that prayer. Ask a continued interest in your prayers. Kenneth, did you get notes? Get notes? All right. We've come to the seventh division of Psalm 119. The letter Zayin, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Some, I've encountered two different spellings of it. Some of them have a Y in it, and some of them don't have the Y. So perhaps it's just Zayin. But nevertheless, in this seventh division, these eight verses describe the blessed comfort in knowing and keeping God's word in evil days. Now, we know there's a blessing in keeping, knowing and keeping God's word at all times. All right? But it's a particular blessing to know that even in the evil days, we can find comfort and help. What are the evil days? Well, they can be evil days for one and not another. When struggles come, when problems arise, it may affect an individual, it may affect a family, it may affect a church, it may affect a nation. Depending on what the nature of the evil might be. So what a blessing to know that God's word can help us and can provide comfort even in the evil days. And oh, that we would commit that to memory. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, so to speak. We know this, don't we? But doesn't hurt to be reminded, does it? We need to be reminded of this. And so God's word is good for us at all times, but can be especially beneficial and a blessing to us in the evil days. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. David is asking God to remember his word and remain faithful to it so he can continue to place his wholehearted dependence upon it and his confidence in it. Now that may sound kind of strange, but basically he's proclaiming the faithfulness of God and how that he can continue to place his wholehearted dependence and confidence in the word of God. Sometimes it takes us a while in life to realize that. Sometimes we live a long time and as a professed Christian, but life's experiences and the leadership of the Spirit will cause us to realize more and more, hopefully, if we're growing, if we're looking to God and wanting to know more, how wonderful it is to develop that confidence, knowing that we can put our wholehearted trust in the Word of God. I tell you, this book is special. This book is like none other. This is not just a book. I'm afraid so many people think it's just a book. It's not. It's the Word of God. It's inspired of God. It's preserved of God. He kept it from error. And he's keeping it for his people. It's his truth. So continuing in the notes now, notice David didn't ask, or he's not asking for the Lord to remember David's faithfulness or David's service in times past. He's not asking for that. That's not something we'd ask the Lord to remember, is it? Sometimes we're not too proud of how we've been able to be faithful and how we've been able to serve the Lord. Some people like to go around talking about how much they've served the Lord, how much they've done for the Lord, and it doesn't take me very long to get tired of that. But I can talk all day about the goodness and mercy of what the Lord has done for me. And that's appropriate. That's where we need to be. So David's not asking for the Lord to remember what he's done. He's asking the Lord to remember his word and his faithfulness. All right? So he's asking that he may continue to trust what has always been a comfort to him, the true and faithful words of God's unfailing promises. And that's what they are. His unfailing promises. I tell you, promises from man won't get you very far, will it? Now, I'm thankful for faithfulness. I'm thankful for people that are devoted to doing what they say. But I also know that people are very limited. We can have the best of intentions, and we can have every ounce of our being poured into trying to do something, but circumstances can change. We can be kept from doing what we want to do, but not so with God. His promises are unfailing. That's what's so wonderful about God's word and his promise. It's unfailing. All right? So, God's word, the last sentence in that first paragraph there, they have been and always will be a tremendous well of refreshing and a strength for each day and a bright hope for tomorrow. I'll tell you, this word is more than a book. It's God's unfailing promises. David trusted in God's word because it caused him to hope. All right, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, I don't know about your Bible. My Bible does not have paragraph markers on each one of these verses. When you're reading other chapters, sometimes it'll have paragraph markers. My Bible package that I use, it puts a paragraph marker on each one of these verses except for the last one. My point is this. Just like we've talked about before, this whole psalm seems to be a collection of principles that can stand alone. So rather than being eight verses that are closely tied together, it may simply be eight truths that we can stand upon. They just happen to be grouped together, and it was written in that acrostic form so that each word in the original language, the first word of each verse began with the same letter. But when he says here in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He's not necessarily continuing the same thought from the previous verse, is my point. But this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Having the Spirit of God in him, David is able to meditate upon God's word and feel it working effectually in him by that same Spirit which continued to quicken him. Now, we've encountered this word quicken several times in Psalm 119 already. We know David, because he had a love for God, because he had a desire to serve God, he was already quickened by the Holy Spirit and has been given life. But one who has the Spirit of God in him, this word will continue to quicken. In other words, it'll continue to make us more lively. It'll continue to make us more active. It'll continue to make us more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. All right? So when he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me," was not just an intellectual exercise, but God's Spirit was witnessing to David's spirit, providing him with the comfort and assurance that what God had promised, he was well able to perform. Isn't that what Abraham trusted in? That what God had promised, he was able to perform? Well, wouldn't you say that all of God's children who have the Spirit of God in them, who have the desire to please God, who have the ability to trust God and to trust the promises that God has made, can't we say the same thing? We count him faithful who promised. And we trust that he's able to perform whatever it is he's promised. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that gives us comfort, doesn't it? That gives us strength for our day. That we're not left here on our own. We've got help. It's good to have friends. It's good to have friends that'll help us out in times of need. It's good to have whatever resources we need to be a help to us. But I'm going to tell you, God is the Lord of hosts, the God of endless supply. Whatever the need might be, he is able to supply and to bring it to our aid. Because he's faithful that promised. There's no time when we find this any sweeter than in our afflictions. Have you found that to be true? In your afflictions. It's just something about this old proud nature of ours. If we feel like we've got any strength, we just it's like we just tell the Lord, "I can handle it from here." But when we become afflicted, and later on David will say, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted." It's good for us. Humbles us, right? So David says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Reading that word, staying in the word, reading. You know, God can take his word, and by his Spirit, he can use it and apply it to our experience in ways we never even considered. Because that's just the way the word is. It's just so all-encompassing that whatever the need of our soul, the Spirit can bring his word to mind and can help us to feast upon it to receive the strength we need. Whatever we're going through. And it's amazing to me, the Spirit does that. And verses that may have fed my soul in my times of affliction, I may have read them many times and never considered that aspect of it. But God knows all things. And so his Spirit can bring us into remembrance of all truth. Lead us into all truth. Remind us of all truth. And bless us to understand that truth. All right. Verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. Derision is ridicule. Have you ever been ridiculed? Have you ever been criticized? It's no fun, is it? It hurts. It's hard to deal with, especially if it's something you know that you're going to face from time to time, and from time to time you have to face it. Oh, but the Lord is our helper. The Lord is our strength. The Lord can help us through it. All right? So he says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Why should David let himself be affected by them? You know, why should those who do not believe in God, who do not love God, who have no understanding of the precious promises and the power of God to provide for his people, why should we let those people affect us in any way? We know who's right. We know who loves us. We know who provides for us. And when all our strength is gone, He will take us up and take us home to be with Him forever. Why would we ever let others bother us? You know, it's just what we have to deal with. It's not pleasant. But listen, this is one of the things, this is one of the ways God's word can encourage us. He says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." He knew the promises of safety and security were his as long as he trusted in the Lord. This was his great comfort and help. He remembered God's faithfulness to him. Still, it's not pleasant to have to face this ridicule, but let them say what they want and trust in whomever they will, for he, Psalms 2:4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." You know, we have an expression, you know, about having the last laugh. God's going to have the last laugh. It's going to happen the way He wants it to, because He has the power to bring His will and purposes to pass. So, what we find then, though the proud have had me greatly in derision, He says, "Yet have I not declined from thy law." Oh, what a lesson for us. Trust in God. Continue to do what's right. Verse 52, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." That's not the only time the scriptures tell us that David had to comfort himself in the Lord. David had to encourage himself in the Lord at that experience at Ziklag, didn't he? When he led the army out and the enemy came in behind and burned the city and carried the women and children away as captives. And the people spake of stoning David. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. So here in verse 52, he says, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." David thought about how God had dealt with and delivered his people in times past. Perhaps his reading the writings of Moses had been his main source of comfort in learning of the dealings of the past. And it could do the same for us today, couldn't it? Reading the Old Testament, reading what God has put in his word to encourage us. But in addition to how God provided for his people, the other side of the coin is how God judged those who opposed them. What tremendous comfort can be ours for whom the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. David remembered. He says, "I remembered thy judgments of old." You know, it's good for us to read the scriptures, to know how God has dealt with his people in times past. But it's also good for us to see how he's judged his enemies in the past, because that encourages us, because we know God doesn't change, and that he could do the same thing to our enemies today. That would encourage us, wouldn't it? That would give us hope. So David said, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." So though we can rejoice that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart's perfect toward him, woe, woe is to the enemies of God. Now, we don't rejoice that others are going to have to suffer, but we can rejoice in the fact that God will settle the score. God will take care of things the way He pleases. Verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. This is an interesting verse. Horror, he says, hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. You know, this is not in the notes, but it bothers me to hear somebody, when something bad happens to somebody that maybe we don't like or some nation that's done a lot of bad toward us, and it bothers me for somebody to just kind of rejoice in that as if they're getting what they deserve. What if we got what we deserve? What if United States of America got what we deserve? Like Elder Sonny Powell said, we'd be crispy critters. This place might be like Sodom and Gomorrah, burned up. It bothers me. Now, why would David be in horror about those that had departed, that forsake the law? Those who love God the most and who are the most quickened to the glory and the joy and wonder of God's mercy and salvation are also the most deeply affected by the awful thoughts of judgment and eternal punishment that shall be poured out upon the wicked. Those that are closest to the Lord, those that love His mercy and rejoice in His glory, those who are the most quickened, that's what David's been talking about a lot in Psalm 119, and that's what we need to be, more quickened, more in tune with God, more sensitive to what He likes and what He dislikes. Those who are more in that way. David was horrified when he thought of the judgment that was coming upon those people. Don't you wish everybody was saved? That would be wonderful. But the Word of God has enough to say about the wicked and what they will endure that we have to understand that the truth of God's Word is not everybody's going to be saved. I hate to think about eternal judgment. And the reason I hate to think about it is because I know I deserve it. Maybe I've deceived myself. Maybe that'll be mine. David was horrified. Because not only did he know the love and the mercy of God, but he also knew that the wicked were going to suffer eternally. That bothers me. I remember Elder Robert Torrance used to talk about how that he knew a guy one time that said he'd love to hear a good hellfire and brimstone sermon. Brother Torrance said, I don't like to hear that. It scares me. God's people who know the truth of judgment, it does bother us. It affects us. David was horrified to know what would happen to those that departed from the way of God. And so should we be. So should we. To think, because God's judgment is sure. David knew both the mercies of God and the certainties of His judgment. He was horrified at the thought of all that would befall them in its future. But even this can be a great motivator to remind us of our duty and to encourage us to be more faithful to God. Now, you may have heard some, it seems like, and I wouldn't judge hearts, but it seems like some folks are just running from the fire, you know. We want to serve God faithfully out of love We want that faith which worketh by love, ministering, showing God's love to one another. All right? Verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. David knew what it was like to have to wander from place to place. As a shepherd leading the flocks, you know, he had to go from place to place. And as one fleeing from those who wanted to kill him, David well understood how it felt to have no certain dwelling place. But even after he became king over all of Israel, he knew he was still a pilgrim in this world, and this world was not his final home. That's a good lesson to know, isn't it? This world is not our home. Now, I'm thankful that I've got a home that I can go to. Not just a house, but a home. A place where there's love. I'm thankful that we can have such blessings as that, but we have to realize they're temporary. We're pilgrims. And the better we can maintain that pilgrim perspective, the more heavenly minded we'll be. So if this world is not our home and we're just here for a while, what would be the best encouragement for us now? Wouldn't it be to learn the ways that please God? To delight in doing them now? And to live with joyful anticipation of being in that place forever? Where we will finally be able to do all his ways perfectly? Wouldn't that be a wonderful pursuit here, now? In heaven, I'm straying from the notes again. In heaven, everything is the way God wants it to be. Because he made it that way. He's our sovereign God who knows the best and has created the best. And that which honors and glorifies him perfectly. And we can't even fathom how glorious that is. But if we're just here temporarily, and that's going to be our home eternally, and God knows that's the best, wouldn't it behoove us to live like that here? Wouldn't that be the most encouragement that we could have this side of glory? And the most fellowship and communion with God? So he says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. When he says his songs, he's talking about his delight. What gave him joy? And what strengthened him? And you know how it is when you go around with a song in your heart and you're joyful. There may be some activity that you really enjoy and you're going to it and you just feel so joyful about it. Well, if everything that we did was in the context of being mindful of what pleased God, being mindful of his word and his statutes, and if we delighted to do that, and if that's the greatest encouragement and strength of joy we could have this side of glory, well, that would make life a whole lot better, wouldn't it? So when he said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage, that should be our song. That is our daily delight. Now, for surely, it will be our song in heaven. He's going to raise us and fashion us like unto Jesus' glorious body, and we're going to be able to do God's will in perfection all the time, forever. That'll be our song in heaven. Why don't we get some practice in now? It'll be the greatest source of joy that we could have. Verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. It's miserable when we can't sleep at night, isn't it? And there's already also many temptations in the night. So while lying awake in bed, how do you occupy the time? Do you roll back and forth fretting? How do you do it? David remembered the name of the Lord in the night. This means that he remembered the Lord, his righteous ways, his judgments, all that God is, and all that his word commands us to do. When you talk about the name of the Lord, you're talking about all that is associated with God and his righteousness. And that's what David remembered in the night. I can't think of a better way to pass the time. I mean, what better company can you have? And that's a wonderful way to find some meditation. Quite often we don't find the time during the day, but if you can't sleep, that's a wonderful time to remember the name of the Lord and meditate upon his word. You can have some good meetings with the Lord right there. I can't think of a better way to spend your time than doing that. It's highly profitable use of time. And David said because of it, he had kept God's law. So whether it kept his mind from wandering into ungodly thoughts in the night, or whether he obtained a better understanding that helped him the next day, or likely both, it is good to remember the Lord in the night to help us in the days ahead. That's very similar to the verse where David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So in those times in the night, when we think about the Lord, think about all that's associated with the name of the Lord, whatever's good, whatever's righteous, whatever's godly, think about those things. David said it helped him to keep the law. So it'll help us to keep ourselves in the love of God, like Jude told us to do. Verse 56. This I had because I kept thy precepts. That, to me, begs the question, what did he have? He said, "This I have because I kept thy precepts." Now, like I mentioned earlier, this copy of the scriptures that I have in my Bible package, it puts a paragraph marker in front of all the verses except verse 56. So if I strictly went after that, I'd say, well, I guess this is connected with verse 55. But I submit to you, and I'm persuaded, and I thought about this a lot, I'm persuaded that he has all of what he said tonight that we talked about because he kept God's precepts. So I don't need to start over, do I? And rehash everything. But I will give you a summary. Verse 49, he had a wholehearted dependence in God's faithfulness to keep his word. That's good, isn't it? That's worthy to think about. Verse 50 said, or showed that David received comfort in his afflictions. Oh, that's valuable. If you're in affliction, you could use some comfort. This he had because he kept God's precepts. See, godliness is not something you turn on and off with like a faucet. You grow. You press into the kingdom. You abide in it. You continue in it. If you keep turning it on and off like a faucet, then you're not going to ever get very deep. You're not going to ever grow very much. You're not going to ever get very high in your experience. But when we abide, when we keep his precepts, God manifests more and more of his presence to us. How wonderful that is. So, verse 50, it showed that David received comfort in his afflictions. 51 said he had confidence and peace of mind even though the proud ridiculed him. Well, isn't that encouraging? That if we have to face the ridicule and perhaps persecution of others, that God will stand there with us. You know, like Stephen, don't you love to think about, I don't like to think about what happened to Stephen, but I love to think about the blessing he had. When he was stoned for preaching the truth. And I pray God will give me the grace. And if it comes to that, if I was being stoned, that'd be the only thing to be preaching at that time. It's the grace and truth of God. Because he'd be the only one that could help me. All right? But even if we're facing, even if we know we're going to have to face the ridicule from the proud, that God would give us the peace of mind and the help we need to face it. That's good to know. Verse 52 says, he had a present comfort in knowing God's past judgments. How God has blessed his people, how God has judged the wicked. We know that God will defend us. All right? Now, we have to balance that with the idea that there's times when God's people had to suffer along with the evildoers. You know, when they were carried into Babylon, they had to go. They all had to go. When the 12 spies went into Canaan's land and came back and 10 of them gave an evil report and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, Joshua and Caleb had to trudge right along with them for 40 years. Sometimes God's people have to suffer because of some evildoers, but God can preserve us in the midst of the trial. Even if it comes to like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he can keep even the smell of smoke off of our clothes while we're in the furnace. All right. Verse 53 says he experienced horror when thinking of how God will judge those who forsake his way. That's a good spiritual barometer for us. When we hear God's judgment, how does it affect us? Do we lift up, we puff out our chest in pride like the Pharisee and say, well, he deserved it? Or does it bother us? Do we have compassion toward them? Verse 54 said, he had a delightful song to sing throughout all the days of his pilgrimage. Do you have that song? Do you know that song? Can you sing it? We do have a song to sing, don't we? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Revelation said they're singing that in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb That's the glad redemption song. We'll have that to sing into all eternity, won't we? Because that truth will never be old. You know what bothers me? It bothers me sometimes when folks here in this life get tired of those old songs, those same old songs. Well, I know that you can run something into the ground. You know, and I've been in churches where, you know, they had three or four songs and that's all they ever sang. Maybe that's all they knew. Okay, and I'm thankful that we know a lot of songs and we have a lot of variety. But Lord, deliver us from ever getting tired of grace is a charming sound. An amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Because it saved a wretch like me. Not only wanting to sing it, but understanding the truth of it and feeling it and truly worshiping as we sing it. So it's not just a performance. It's worship. There is a difference, isn't there? May God help us to worship. All right. Verse 54 said, I'm sorry, that was 54. Verse 55 says that the remembrance of the name of the Lord in the night helped him to keep God's law. And we're not talking about the old law service so much tonight as we're talking about God's way. What God has told us in His Word that we must do to enjoy His blessings and His favors. What a treasure David had by keeping the Lord's precepts. And this too can be ours when we learn of Him, remember His ways, and delight to do them consistently each day. That ought to be our goal as a disciple, shouldn't it? To be more like Jesus. Be more like Him. After all, His Word says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I understand that bar is too high for us, but it's the mark we need to strive for. We need to press toward that mark as best we can. The Lord will help us. He helps those who sincerely and diligently are seeking Him. Isn't that His promise? James says, "Draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you." All right? Bless your hearts. These eight verses tonight describe the blessed comfort of knowing and keeping God's Word, even in the evil days. What a blessing that is to know that God's Word's good for us when the times are good, and it's especially sweet for us when the times are not good. May God help us to trust Him in every day and in every way. God bless you is our prayer.